We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, waking you up here on this Thursday morning. It is the early morning show. My name is Matt Cole. I'll be with you to about 5:40 before the Fan morning show. Pre-show, as always. Be honest with you, Thursdays are always the toughest days for me to get through. I don't know what it is. It's the back end of the week. It's not quite Friday. I just feel it more today than any other day of the week. But we're going to push through it here. And wake up together here on this Thursday, one day closer to Steelers-Broncos, of course, this weekend, as it's another shot for the Steelers to kind of prove to themselves that they're back, that they've got their man back in Ben Roethlisberger, and they're ready to go. And I start with this topic today at the risk of sounding like a complete and total yinzer. And knowing that this conversation hopefully continues all year long, and that it's honestly entirely too early to be talking about this after just one game and after 1 week. But so are a lot of things this early in the year, so whatever. I mean, this is part of talking about things very early in the season and just trying to project things out for the rest of the year. Heard something very interesting yesterday as I was out and about tuning into the PM team. Around 3 o'clock yesterday, they had Radio.com Sports NFL insider Ross Tucker on. And Tucker was talking about, well, first some betting stuff, but also just the overall landscape of the AFC, and said this.
What do people not understand about the fact that, I agree that Kansas City and Baltimore are the two best. I agree with that. But if there's any team in the AFC that has a realistic chance to crash for the Chiefs-Ravens AFC Championship game party, it's the Steelers. And you're talking to a guy that played 3 years for the Bills. I love the Bills. I think the Bills have a really good team. I think they're going to win the division. But if we're talking about who can really give the Ravens and the Chiefs a run for their money, it's Pittsburgh.
Okay. So that leads to the question for me, as I hear that answer, is after week one, how far away are the Steelers from the Ravens and the Chiefs? We saw the Chiefs on Thursday night really had no issues with the Houston Texans. I'm not sure how good the Texans are going to be. They were a playoff team last year. They're always in the mix in the AFC South, especially with Deshaun Watson out there. You know, it seems to be a pretty good team, and Kansas City made them look like a very mediocre team to begin the NFL season on Thursday night. And we all know what the Baltimore Ravens did to the Browns. 38-6. Completely stomped them into the ground. So, first of all, I agree with Ross that the Steelers do have that best chance. That they are that next team that is behind those two. I think their ceiling with Ben is much higher than that of the Bills with Josh Allen. I mean, yes, the Bills are almost universally picked to win the AFC East this year. They have one of the best defenses, at least in the AFC, if not the entire NFL. They were a playoff team last year. Josh Allen should be better, I guess, in his continued development. They've got Stephon Diggs also offensively. They drafted a running back in Zach Moss to complement Devin Singletary. They've got some pieces there, and they'll probably be a 11-win team this year and win that division. New England has Cam Newton, We'll see how he holds up throughout the year. I tend to think that he will do so successfully and that Bill Belichick will set him up for as much success as he can have at this point in his career. They win 10 games or so, but I don't think they'll be a better team than the Steelers in the end. And I don't see any other team in the West or the South being good enough. And they got the Titans there, okay. You know, anybody else in the West, the Broncos, we'll see obviously this Sunday. You know, Raiders, Chargers, that's a whole lot of nothing there. The Colts, they just lost to the Jaguars to begin the season. So, yeah, I do think the Steelers are that next team in terms of contention. But how big is that gap? Let's just break it down by, I guess, units and top players. On defense, the Steelers holding the advantage there between these three teams. And that's including the Ravens as well. Clear advantage over Kansas City. And I think still a slight advantage over Baltimore. Just in the fact that they can create turnovers. That they are explosive in that way. And we saw that in week one as well. Offensively, I mean, clearly Kansas City and Baltimore have more dynamic offenses right now. Because they've got more dynamic quarterback play. In that these quarterbacks are a lot more mobile and make a little bit more plays. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, of course, he had to settle in and playing for the first time in a little less than a year. But I think overall, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, you fear those guys just a little bit more than Ben, at least at this point in the year. But his return obviously puts the Steelers back on track. I think the weapons Kansas City has at its disposal is a lot more than the Steelers have to offer, especially with a running back situation that, although James Conner, you know, you can argue that he wasn't very good when he was in there and that Benny Snell is clearly the better running back right now, and I would agree, that's still a running back down and a weapon down if James Conner can't stay healthy. And I think the way Lamar Jackson utilizes his guys, both of those teams are ahead of the Steelers. So it's clear that it's still KC and Baltimore, and it might be that way throughout the entire season. But I do think that it's possible for the Steelers to catch one of those teams, either in the standings or in just the overall feeling by the time we get into the postseason. And it is possible for the Steelers to beat at least one of those teams in the postseason. So I don't think that while it is right now clearly KC, Baltimore, everybody else, that it'll stay that way. But I think it, in order for the Steelers to get into that conversation, the defense needs to stay opportunistic. That's the element that I'm not sure the other teams have that the Steelers clearly do. And they need to keep that up throughout the year to get themselves into that conversation. Also, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, if I can just switch gears here for a couple minutes before I wrap up this first segment. Interesting comments to the Washington Post on Tuesday. He said an overwhelming majority of MLB owners endorsed the 16-team postseason before the pandemic, and that's what Major League Baseball is doing this year, and we are almost there into the postseason. And the commissioner suggested it could be here to stay. He said, quote, I think there's a lot to commend it, and it is one of those changes I hope will become a permanent part of our landscape. So right now, baseball has 8 teams from each league making the playoffs, top 2 teams from each division, and then 2 wild cards after that. And so that means that more than half the league is in the playoffs. And he wants this to stay? I can't get on board with that. That just doesn't seem right to me. Baseball is the ultimate marathon sport as well. If you play 162 games and more than half the league makes it, what's the point of playing all those games? And I think it would also eliminate quality playoff races late in the year, where teams that are already way out ahead essentially just have to keep afloat and play 500 baseball through September and not get hurt, really, just to maintain their positioning. And once they clinch that playoff spot, they've got nothing to play for. And yes, that means that more teams are in it in the end, but if they're all a bunch of mediocre teams going after it, then who really cares? Under the current format, where the first and second place teams in every division and two wild cards in each league make the postseason, if that would be in place last year, that would have meant that the 78 and 84 Texas Rangers would have made the playoffs last year. And once they got in, that team would have played the top seed in the AL, which was the Houston Astros, in a best of three wild card round, where a game win, one win by the Rangers would have put the Astros on the brink of elimination with a 107-55 record. Now, that part I don't necessarily care about as much, where it's, okay, a team has to play some 78 and 84 team for a three-game series in the playoffs, and they might have a problem with that if they lose game one and it's unfair. There's nothing unfair about that. I mean, win the games. I've got no sympathy there. If you're really that good of a team, you'll dispose of a 78 and 84 Texas Rangers without any issue. So that's not necessarily a problem, and I think that's an argument that people will bring up in all of this. I mean, you win those games that are out in front of you. But I just don't like the fact that 16 of the 30 teams in baseball would then make the postseason, especially after you play 6 months of regular season baseball to try to determine who the best teams are. That kind of eliminates the whole impact of going 162 games. So I really hope they don't keep that postseason beyond this year, even in a small market and even in a city where the team probably could use some extra postseason spots throughout the next couple years. And maybe even that won't cut it. All right, coming up next, some things you may have missed from yesterday, of course. Always do that in the middle segment of the show, including movement from yet another conference for football in the fall. I'm sure you can guess as to which conference that is. And another thing happening in baseball that this is going on 5 times now, and there might be an issue at hand. And to end the show today, a little big deal or no big deal. That's all on the way. It's the Early Morning Show. Welcome in to the Early Morning Show. Some things you may have missed from last night, especially if you're up this early. Let's do it.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Big news from yesterday that broke yesterday morning. The Big Ten putting things in place to begin a season October 24th, get an 8-game regular season in, and moving on to actually, you know, play some college football this year. And now it just leaves one Power 5 conference on the outside looking in, and it's the Pac-12. So what's the deal with them after this news broke yesterday? Well, the issue is all in the status of California and Oregon, which is home of half of the Pac-12 teams and the states that have public health restrictions keeping sports teams from returning to the practice field or even to have games there. And that seemed to shift a little bit yesterday afternoon when California Governor Gavin Newsom said there is nothing to prevent the Pac-12 teams in his state from returning to athletic activities. He said, quote, they can resume football. There's nothing in guidelines that say the Pac-12 cannot move forward, period, full stop. I just want to make that crystal clear. Also, a spokesman for Oregon Governor Kate Brown said the state is also working to find a way for football to return. So those two states obviously very key in the Pac-12 getting back to playing, and it looks like they're starting to head in that direction. Not quite sure what the timeline is going to be for that. They don't have a lot of more time to waste. I mean, if the Big Ten has already made this decision and they're only going to get 8 games in, you figure you only have about a week or two to get things figured out in the Pac-12 before that regular season is almost not even worth it to play. Also from yesterday in baseball, this happened again. Umpires cleared the field during a game between the Cleveland Indians and Chicago Cubs when a small drone flew into Wrigley Field and over the bleachers and landed on the grass in deep left center. We know that happened with the Pirates and the Twins earlier this year. Davidas Navarauskas tried to throw a baseball at it, and of course, missed. And now there's more drones, a 7-minute delay. There's also been another instance of it in Major League Baseball throughout the year, and I don't know what the deal is here. I don't know what their protocols are going to be. Is it always going to create this delay whenever a drone goes onto the field? How do you prevent that? Can we get an official statement from Rod Manfred on drones?
Drones and so forth.
Not Mike Tomlin, Rod Manfred. I don't know what the deal is there. I don't know why it's just baseball. I wonder when it's going to come to the NFL. All right, speaking of the NFL from yesterday, the Cowboys announced that they are going to limit stadium capacity to 25% for their home opener against the Falcons this weekend. That's what Mike McCarthy says. It's another team that is using this 25% model for fans in the stands. And of course, the Steelers in Heinz Field announced that throughout the month of September, there will be no fans, but the more teams that do it. And as the weeks go on and hopefully there's no outbreaks because of it, maybe there's more of a chance that that comes to Pittsburgh and to Heinz Field for some games. And also Ezekiel Elliott, if we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys and them being all flash, all brand and no winning. Apparently Ezekiel Elliott now has a feed me tattoo on his stomach. And you know how he always loves to, you know, tuck his jersey up so that shows off his six pack or whatever. Now has a feed me tattoo. His mom apparently isn't very happy about it, but he says, that's my brand. Feed me. Okay, Zeke. Keep doing your thing, man. And Cowboys will keep going 9-7 and either missing the playoffs or being bounced in the first round. Keep doing you. All right, coming up next, big deal or no big deal, Pittsburgh sports storylines. Are they something to pay attention to or a whole lot of nothing? That's next. Packed up fan morning show for you after this, starting at 5:40 with the pre-show. And then 6:30 today, we've got a U.S. Open draft. Be doing that. 7 o'clock, Matt Clement, former Major League pitcher, joins the show bright and early. 8 o'clock, Jason Mackey, Pirates insider, joins us for the weekly hit with him. 8:30 today, Peter King from NBC Sports. He's the guy, of course, that didn't have the Steelers in the playoffs a week ago and had the Miami Dolphins as the fourth seed in the AFC. Be interested to hear his defense of that prediction. That's at 8:30 today on the Fan Morning Show. And of course, he has plenty of other league insight that he can provide as well. But before that, feel free to play along. Do this every Thursday. It's this.
Now it's time to play everybody's favorite sports game, Big Deal or No Big Deal.
All right, let's roll right along here. And the first, and it's an easy one, a softball. The Broncos will be without Von Miller on Sunday. Big deal, no big deal.
Big deal.
Yeah, I mean, clearly he's their best and most impactful defensive player. All pro, always gets double-digit sacks, almost always. He only had 8 last year. Bradley Chubb, though, is interesting because he had 12 sacks as a rookie a couple years ago. He was hurt all of last year, but he is no slouch in getting after the quarterback, and he is back this year and is now, of course, having to fill the role of both himself and Von Miller along that defensive line. Also, Jarrell Casey was a Pro Bowler last year, longtime Tennessee Titan. He's now with the Broncos. So I think this is still a better pass rush than last week's Giants team. And especially now with that offensive line with some uncertainty for the Steelers, it's no guarantee that this won't still be an issue even without Von Miller. And we won't get any kind of clarity, I don't think, until later on in the week as far as who the Steelers will have up front. We know that Zach Banner's out for the year. David DeCastro was not in practice, but I'll get to that practice report here in just a little bit. So weren't a lot of people. But yes, it is a big deal that Von Miller won't be out there. All right, next. The Al Villanueva helmet controversy seems to just not be going away. Big deal, no big deal.
Not a big deal.
Now, let me clarify. It's not a big deal as far as on-the-field production. I don't believe. Obviously, Cam Hayward has since said that he didn't know about the helmet change. Ben Roethlisberger also said the same yesterday. Both of those guys are team captains. That's a little bit of an issue if they didn't know about that. I'm not sure what kind of rift that brings up in the locker room, if any, but I personally don't feel like it's going to make a difference on the field. I don't think anybody will let it affect them in the way they prepare or focus on the game, and that wasn't necessarily the case with past drama and past distractions because it involved guys not showing up for practices or games, like in the case of Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. So I do think the Steelers are ultra committed to not having those distractions anymore and just having it be about football. They're coming out of that era where they dealt with all of those things. And then, of course, last year, they dealt with not having Ben Roethlisberger around. So now they have both of those elements in place. And I really do think that they are committed to having it be all about winning. And I don't think this will have much an effect for them on the field. Pirates pitchers. Yeah, they're struggling to get deeper into games. Big deal, no big deal.
Big deal.
Two quality starts this year. That's it. Quality starts being six innings, giving up three runs or fewer. This, among the many things of the course of this season, is a big deal. Because the rotation was something that I was looking for this year as, okay, what do they really have this year? Are these guys a bunch of twos and threes? And maybe there's a one slipped in there? Hopefully Mitch Keller? Or are they a bunch of fours and fives and honestly better bullpen pieces down the road than starters? And it's absolutely been the latter so far. That none of these guys have kind of taken the reins, have stepped up, and been what you wanted them to be in the rotation. And that, among many concerning things for the future, is right staring them in the face for the Pirates, is who is that guy to lead the rotation? Do we have anybody? Can Jameson Taillon even stay healthy? Is Mitch Keller going to be that guy at the Major League Baseball level? We have no idea. I certainly know that it's not Joe Musgrove. It's not Trevor Williams. And I doubt that it's Chad Kuhl either. All of those guys have kind of shown who they really are this year. All right, next, the Big Ten is finally going to play some football starting October 24th. Big deal, no big deal.
Big deal.
James Franklin, he just wants to play some ball.
Whether it's playing in Beaver Stadium or whether it's playing in these domes, I don't even know what the schedule looks like right now, but I am fired up and jacked up, and so are our guys.
Ohio State's ranked second in the country already as they've re-ranked the teams now that the Big Ten is going to get themselves back into the fold. Penn State will be sixth. It sounds like they will get in about eight games to the regular season, and it's going to be messed up. I mean, college football this year was going to be messed up from the very beginning. So I don't know if there's going to be a true champion crowned or all of that stuff, but at least for these players and getting NFL looks, it's important for them to get these eight games in and at least to be entertained by a college football playoff later on in the winter months. It's important. And I heard Cook and Joe going back and forth about this yesterday, and they seemed to make the point that the Big Ten, in the end, played this correctly, that they waited until they had daily testing before they started to play football games. And they might have played this more aptly than the other conferences. I can't get on board with that. They missed out on four games. And they also went through this very, very ugly PR scene to get there. So I'm not sure where that comes from, but glad to see the Big Ten is actually going to play some games. And it's beyond just the ACC that, I mean, if we're not watching Pitt, let's be honest, the ACC football is just not that all that exciting. All right, couple more. Thursday Night Football tonight features the Browns and the Bengals. Big deal or no big deal?
Big deal.
To me it is, because it's just how bad are you, Cleveland? Are you really going to lose to Cincinnati at home to a rookie quarterback? Are you that bad? Because if you are, that's great. Because that's another team that's out of the potential playoff mix. At least that's what the hype was at the beginning of the season. So just how bad is Cleveland? We're going to find out tonight. Couple more. The Steelers open up the week with an extensive injury list.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys on here. 10 of them, in fact. You roll through the names. Roethlisberger, coach's decision. Deontay Johnson, toe. Juju with a knee. James Conner, an ankle. Marquise Pouncey, coach's decision. Wisniewski, chest. DeCastro, knee. Villanueva, illness. Tuitt, Achilles. I think this is just a matter of what would happen in week one after not having a preseason. Ton of injuries. I expected this. Guys not used to game action. I think it's too early in the week to tell anything or be alarmed by anything. Everybody's bumped and bruised up, or at least feels that way, after 1 week and after having that first bit of game action. And speaking of that, as I wrap up here, Big Ben said this about how he feels after the first game.
I was saying today I feel like I was in just a car accident. Yesterday I felt like I was in a train wreck. So hopefully tomorrow just feels like I fell off a bike or something.
Big deal or no big deal here?
Not a big deal.
I can't help but to laugh every time I hear that. It's Ben being Ben. He can't just say that he's sore. He can't just say that he's feeling a little bit, after his first game. He's got to say that he was in a car accident or a train wreck or he's fallen off his bike or whatever. He's got to put descriptors on it. Hopefully his body does hold up, though. I do have a little bit of a concern about that at 38 years old. But he said his arm so far is feeling pretty good, and that, of course, is, I think, the most important thing moving forward. But, yeah, not a huge deal that Ben says this. Actually, it's a very good sign in my mind that Ben is back to being Ben and saying things like that. All right, let's wrap up with this.
It's time for Gone in 40 Seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson, and he... Yeah, all those guys made the list for the Pro Football Hall of Fame consideration. How about that? That's one thing I'll miss about not having fans in the stands this year is Vance McDonald being misidentified as Heath. Even Eric Ebron, whatever. Does he actually have a case, though? He broke every Steelers record for a tight end. 592 receptions, 6,569 yards, 45 touchdowns, won 2 Super Bowls. Yeah, he probably doesn't make it, but he'll make it into that Steelers Hall of Fame someday. Say it with me again. Heath. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, cloudy, high 77. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low 53. Pre-show next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.